Hey, what it do with the business is?
It's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, Animal_Brown, if you're looking for me on Instagram, Twitter, and the Snap.
I am Spike Lou, wherever you find me in the social streets, the tweet streets, Facebooking, Instagramming, all of those good things. How you feeling out there?
Man, I'm feeling good, feeling great. Finally got me a haircut.
I don't believe that you bald.
Beard.
What happens?
Grown
what
men
happens
have beards,
when you go
sir?
To the barbershop? That nigga smack you in the back of the head and charge you $10.
This is for grown men with beard conversation, sir.
Beard maintenance. Okay, I got you. Like you shave your neck and stuff.
I couldn't take it. I had to get a fucking cut, dude. Like whiskers all in my food and shit when I'm trying to eat. Mm. This was some slaw.
You can trim it up at home, but it ain't nothing like a barber cut, though.
Yeah, nah, I got to get the official like tissue.
How was the barber shop? Were people social distancing? Did your barber have a mask on?
Yeah, they definitely had. They were masked up in there for sure, and you couldn't. There were no seats, so you had to wait outside.
Mm. Would you come in and take a number or something?
Nah. For VIP status. You know what I'm talking about? Red carpet rolled out when I pulled up, son.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Not. Another week in the books for the On Deck TV podcast, man. This week what we're talking about, 50 Cent still raising eyebrows with his comments during a recent conversation with Lil Wayne. That's your man's. Also, during that conversation or somewhere thereafter, Lil Wayne confirms that Carter 6 is on the way. Mm-hmm. Can he still move the meter? And the King of the South is looking for some competition, and he calls out your favorite bully. But first and foremost, your mans. I've been getting DMs all day. Make sure you give it to Animal Brown. Don't give him no brace, because this is his guy, Kanye West. In Kanye West fashion, announced his presidential run for 2020 5 months before the election.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, as a Kanye West stan, apologist, whatever other adjective goes with your love and admiration for Kanye West, is it irresponsible for him to use his platform to say he's running for president for album promo?
Absolutely not.
Oh, my God.
Listen, man. Listen, he dropped his single last week featuring Travis Scott, which is tough.
Mm. And what's is it?
Yeah, it's banging. What's a better way to promote your album than rehashing the I'm running for president bombshell he dropped about 2 years ago?
Like, bombshell.
People ate that shit up then. They're going to eat that shit up now. I'm not sure why this even made news. It was a bullshit tweet that he put out. He's tweeted a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's tweeted a lot of things that have not come to fruition. I have stopped paying attention to his tweets that don't have accompanying links with them to shoes for the last 3 years, dude. If it don't got a link, I'm not paying attention. And no, he's not running for president. I don't believe it. I also don't believe he did this to take votes away from Biden so Trump can get reelected. And stop the bullshit. Stop the cap. Stop hanging on to every single syllable in his tweets and in the words that he says, dude. We don't have to keep doing this. This is my guy. The single is fire. I'm looking forward to the album. But just don't take this for nothing more than it is, which is album promo. That's all.
And you say we don't have to keep doing this. Is that, what do you mean?
This made waves across news outlets as if you could just wake up and tweet that you're going to run for president 200 days in advance of the fucking election, dude. Like, stop, bro. Stop the fucking madness.
To answer most people's question, can he even do this? Technically, there is a way, yes. He would have to register as an independent, and he would have to be listed as an independent party. By doing so, no independent party has ever won. But they have been able to curtail votes away from the leader and make races much closer than they usually are, even flip the election. So that's the thought process when people who follow politics and think that, you know, if he's actually being truthful, if he does run and puts himself on that independent ballot, that it could could lean the scales in Trump's favor. So that's what that means. And that's not far-fetched. And the reason that I say that's not far-fetched is because when you go and call Kanye, call Donald Trump your dad, and you wear the MAGA hat and you do these things, like, people throw you in the conspiracy theory realm. You don't get to say that I don't follow politics, I just like his energy. Like, you can't do that once you've committed in this world that Donald Trump is in, or the people that follow that are in. So I don't think it's far-fetched for them to throw the conspiracy theories out there about it. But I, like you, I didn't even give it the time of day when it crossed my— I thought it was old news. I was like, didn't we already go over this? I mean, we had a whole episode about it.
Exactly.
And I didn't understand what was new. And I do find myself irritated more so now than ever with people, because there's nothing, not a lot to talk about. There's not a lot of sports. Protest things have died down some. So it's not a lot of news. Kanye West comes out and says he's running for president. Instead of people just dismissing and say it's Kanye being Kanye, it grows legs. It grows legs because people hate Trump and they want to get Trump out of office and they think this is a conspiracy theory, like all the stuff that we've talked about. I don't blame Kanye West for that. In this situation, I mean, people know how I feel about Kanye West to listen to this show. I don't blame him for this, though. I mean, he's doing what he does, his job as a rapper. He was the first person to stand up on the tables and rap his bars for people that didn't believe in him and do all these outlandish things. Should he marry Kim Kardashian for promo, if you ask me?
Yeah.
If you really want to dig into it. So it's not far-fetched that he would do this. Is it dangerous? Is it irresponsible with his platform? I mean, it's of expectation, I think. I don't think that it's more dangerous than anything else he's did. So he's lined himself up with these things. I'm just surprised that people continuously react to it in the way that they do and take it as seriously. So I guess I kind of agree with what you're saying.
To be fair, he did say this before, a couple of years ago. So it's not as if Biden came out and said, I'm running, and then Kanye woke up and said, oh, I'm about to run too, so that way I can take votes away from Biden. No, he said this before Biden even announced that he was running for president. So, he said that to Kanye 2020. He said that about 2 years ago.
True, but what people who say that he would be stealing the votes by coming in this late is Donald Trump is down. He's down a lot if you follow politics, and it's believable that he may lose unless something drastic changes the stakes. And as this was being reported and this has started to grow legs on CNN and Fox News and things like that, Kanye West comes out and says that he's going to run for president. So that's how I think people tie the two together. You're right. 2 years ago, he did come out and say that it shouldn't be new. But with everything else that was in the zeitgeist and his support for Trump, I think it's how it grew the legs the second time around. But still, I don't know why people pay attention to it.
If he came out and said reparations for Black foundational Americans, are you voting for Kanye West?
I wouldn't dare vote for Kanye West. And like, fam, Kanye West is a great artist. He's a great businessman. He knows how to garner attention. If people think that Trump is bad, fam, let Kanye West in office and watch what happens then. Like,
I don't think that
it would be crazy. And like I say, there may be celebrities that can do it. I'm not just saying it's not a job that celebrities that can't do. But Kanye West has shown his temperament throughout the years, his emotion throughout the years. Him being president and have to conduct business affairs that affected all of our lives. Man, I wouldn't hold my breath for that in the slightest.
Hey, man, if the dude in the office can do that now, then Kanye West can do it.
I don't think so.
Shit.
You think that Kanye West could do a better job than Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Really?
They both have equal amount of political experience coming into this shit. So, yes.
When you talk about stability, not saying that Donald Trump is a stable person at all, but Kanye West may be the only other person in the world that's less stable than him.
He gonna come in and he gonna go ahead and admit everything leading up to this was just a shuck to get in and get Black people rich, and I'm here for it. Let's get it.
He gonna get in and hire Barack to do it for 8 more years. That's what he would do. Just get in and hire Barack. That would be the smartest thing. If he ran for president and he was like, y'all elect me, I'm just going to let Barack run the country for 8 years.
Y'all make sure y'all check out that throwback.
Just vote for me.
Y'all check out that throwback episode, though. We did do a full episode on Kanye running for president, but it was also which rapper could run for president and who would be successful at it. It was actually pretty dope. Y'all check that out.
Yeah, it was dope. Very dope. What we got next?
Next up, man, Lil Wayne's latest guest on Young Money Radio was none other than 50 Cent. And the interview was as controversial as you'd expect. 50 caught flack for a few things, namely him speaking on the backlash he gets for the type of women he dates, and even threw a few shots at Rick Ross and Meek Mill. Are you surprised that 50's antics still make headlines?
50 knows just the right buttons to push. I'm not surprised at all that his antics move headlines because, as we both mentioned on this show, his new book, what's the name of the book? Business or whatever.
Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter.
Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter. He talked about being able to move the meter and doing the things that make people uncomfortable because it doesn't affect him. He doesn't care. He don't care what you think about him as long as you're talking about him, good or bad. He said that in the book. Helps him move. It helps his product, 50 Cent. So with that being said, I feel like he knows exactly what he's saying when he says this. When he says it's not a neighborhood girl, it's a bitch off the boat, and when he's in that context, he knows it's going to piss people off. He knows the social media is going to go crazy about this, and he knows people are going to talk about colorism and the conversations that move the meter. I think that 50 Cent is savvy enough to notice. This is what keeps his brand hot. This is why we talk about 50 Cent today. So when he comes on here and he says this, I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And I disagree with him still having to use these methods to move the meter. 50's a smart businessman. This is divisive. This is the same reason why people don't like Donald Trump. Like, I think that you know, and I don't know about Trump, but in 50's situation, he knows better. Like, I've heard him speak, like I said, in this book about knowing what buttons to push and how people respond. So when I hear him say things like this, I have to think that he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows he's going to piss people off, and I don't think that that's right. At this stage in his career, at 44 years old, these ain't the budgets that you should be trying to push. Don't be provocative with your own people and divisiveness amongst light skin and dark skin. I don't think that that was a good move for him.
Yeah, listen, the optics of what he said, it's not a good look. I understood what he meant in what he said, but he's got this shit down to a science. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody should be surprised that he's good at antics. Like, where have you been at? Have you been living on a rock for the last 15 years? Like, this is what he does. He even found ways to throw shots at Puff, Ross. He found ways to throw shots in his own book
Big
about
meal.
Business. Not even, I'm going to get to that in just a second. He dissed them in the book, real low key. Like, so that's what he does. I did think it was interesting that he echoed what Tekashi said about Meek Mill, which was, how are you talking about prison reform and your manager is a snitch and you're signed to a former correctional officer? I thought that was interesting.
Stupid. That's stupid.
Why you have to tell me why that's stupid.
What does that have to do with Meek's prison reform efforts? Like, Meek, all Meek is trying to do is get people that shouldn't be in jail or that are serving too long of sentences or that were affected by the system the way that he was with his parole hearing and parole situation with that judge. He's trying to help those people. They ain't got nothing to do with snitching. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. And only someone like Tekashi 6ix9ine that does know anything about streets or have a code, I feel like, would say that, and 50 would double down on it just trying to be provocative.
Actually,
I don't think that has any merit.
What he was saying, in addition to that, because that is true with everything you just got through saying, but he was saying that he was on 10 against Tekashi, but his manager is on record for telling on a bunch of people way back in the day. So just saying it's hypocritical. And then on top of that, you're on one side of the fence with the street music, and then you're on the other side of the fence because you signed to a former correctional officer. And we know, listen, man, we've went through this a million times. Ross was a correctional officer for about 6 months. It looked crazy in the picture with him holding the certificate. But, like, I don't really take that shit too seriously. It looked like a job.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, they just become COs just to get a gig, and they
especially as the years have passed and we've gotten older. Yeah, really, like, it's a job.
It's funny, but it's just a job.
It's funny. It's very funny. But back to the Rock Nation chick, the CEO. What's her name? Juan something? Is that?
Yeah, Juan Perez, his wife.
So she wore a wire and helped the DEA and FBI catch major drug traffickers from Colombia. She also went to Colombia with a wire and helped them acquire, like, people that were known drug runners.
Damn. Is she not manages Meek Mill?
I mean, she's the CEO of Rock Nation. She doesn't just manage Meek Mill. Like, she's the CEO of Rock Nation. She was the COO of Rockefeller.
Mm.
So I don't think that Meek Mill can go into her. Like, he's not walking into Jay-Z's office and being like, fam, I'm only signing with Rock Nation if you fire her because she wore a wire in 95 to get these big drug traffickers locked. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You can sign with somebody else.
Hey, okay, go sign with somebody. Go sign with 50 Cent then. See how that works out for you, my nigga. Y'all go keep it real over there. You'll be right there with him on TV with Lil Wayne causing fucking ruckus about nothing and not making music. This is another one of those situations. Like, when Tekashi brought this up, I dismissed it. And I looked more into it when 50 repeated it because I was like, okay, well, maybe it's merit to it. But I just don't think that applies to what people say when they say not snitching. I didn't find much more information about what she had going on and how she even got put in that situation. But Meek Mill don't got more leverage than she got. He ain't in no position, is my point in that, to say, I don't want to work with her. It doesn't matter how he feels about her. And I'm sure he maybe not even notice. Meek Mill don't seem like the type of nigga that Google people he working with. He's just like, okay, you do this, cool.
First of all, wearing a wire is snitch protocol. Let's not act like we don't
facts.
Know. We don't
this is know facts. That. But, man, listen. These people were in Colombia. They were big drug. I don't know what was going on. Like, this is some Narcos type shit. So,
I will say, the backlash 50 caught about the who he dates line people. Like, let's pump the brakes just a little bit. I don't know 50 personally. He might not like black women or himself, or I don't know. I don't know the nigga. Strictly based on his comments, people were reaching just ever so slightly in the Shade Room comments. I mean, I seen everything.
I seen everything
from he hates himself to he hates black people. He hates black women. I was like, okay. It was a 32-second clip. I'm not sure how people went from A to Z like that. But that's not what he was saying in the clip. And people just have to relax a little bit. Again, I understand the optics. The optics did not sound good, to be real. But if you listen to what he was saying, he wasn't saying anything abnormal. And I need people to just listen to a little bit.
Whoa, well, that was abnormal, though.
No, it wasn't.
Black women are exotic as well, though. Like, you can't
exactly
just say.
He didn't say they weren't.
He said that this chick don't look like she came from the neighborhood. He said it's something exotic. Like, right. There are women from the neighborhood that look exotic as well. He was implying that you can't get that look from black women. That was the implication.
No, I disagree with that.
It very much was.
I disagree with that.
You could disagree with it if there weren't previous context of him saying these things. Like, he has alluded to before not liking black women. So when he say, you can't get this bitch look fresh off a boat, what he's trying to say, and how I take it is, oh, well, you can't get this type of bitch from the neighborhood, and you can. Like, black women have exotic looks as well. So I disagree with that. I don't give him no leeway right there.
Exotic,
he shouldn't say that.
Exotic in that instance, what he was talking about was foreign. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, actually, no, if you look up, you're giving him that leeway.
No,
he
read the definition of exotic, dude. Google exotic right now and tell me that doesn't say foreign.
You tell me, help me out. What does it say?
I bet you $1 million foreign is in the definition. I guarantee it, dude. Exotic, originating in or characteristic of a distant foreign country.
Foreign country. And what did he say specifically? What did he say?
What he said was, there's some sisters who get mad at me when they see who I'm dating, and I say, man, they're exotic. This is something different from what I saw in the hood.
That's what I'm saying. You can't, the last part, you're good up until it's something different. You can have your preference, my nigga. That's fine. Like, it's cool. Everybody can have their preference. But when you start to say it's different from what I find in the hood, that's like me or you talking to someone and say, hey, man, you're articulate. Why? Why? Because I'm black? You didn't think that I could speak this well?
No, bro.
Like, you're putting a blanket statement saying that you can't find that in the hood, and you very much can. Black women are probably the most exotic women on earth.
We understand that. I just told you he meant foreign. That's foreign, though, when he said that. Are they the most foreign? Are black women the most foreign?
Oh, my God. Shit. That's not what he said, though. You're telling me what he meant. Like, don't tell me what
he
meant.
That's the definition of what he said.
No. He said, you can't get this in the hood. That shit look like it came off a boat. If you just leave the shit at the shit is exotic, then cool. That shit different from the shit you see in the neighborhood. All of the time is when you lose people and people start to attack you and say you're a colorist.
Listen, man.
That's when you got to leave that part. I'm like, why even add that part? Because what he's saying is, oh, I can't find these type of chicks in the hood, right?
And listen, and that doesn't make them greater or less than. It just makes them different, which is what people need to understand.
That's not what he said. You're saying what? That. You're giving him a lot of leeway, my nigga. Like, you're shooting him a lot of bail.
That's exactly what he said.
You're the National Bail Association right now. You're the NBA right now. You're the National Bail Association. Get this nigga out of jail. I disagree with that. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing.
His words were literally, this shit is different. That was literally his words. How are you saying that that's not what he said?
So
that's exactly verbatim what he said.
Black women are different?
No, he said the exotic shit is different from what he saw growing up in Queens.
Damn.
You remember the first time we went to Miami? Niggas acting real slow right now, nigga.
First of all, he's not in Miami.
Nigga, fucking Brazil. Can you imagine what the fuck? It looks different. Nobody is saying it's better than or greater than. It's different. Oh, I put it like this. Everybody has their norms where they're at, whether that's people, what they eat, the places they go. You have norms. If you go someplace else across the country or across the globe, things are different. What people eat are different. Where people go are different. It doesn't make them better or less than. They're just different. That's all he's saying. Cool. Trust me.
Add the neighborhood part of it if that's all you're saying? Like, you don't have to be this. It's like when white people say, yeah, but I voted for Barack. Like, I don't care. If you like fuck with black people, you fuck with black people. You don't have to put the disclaimer in there and say, you don't see this. Well, this shit look a lot different from the shit you see in the neighborhood all the time, because that's not true. And that's not true because black women are exotic as well.
Bruh.
That's it. That's it. There is no way around that, bro. You can give him all type of bail you want, but black women are exotic as well. So you do see that shit in the neighborhood.
My nigga.
I'm telling you. You can shoot the nigga all the bail you want to, bro.
We're niggas that have been to Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, bro, they don't look like that in Nashville. And people in Nashville don't look like that in Costa Rica. It's the reverse.
Yeah,
bro.
That's what you're saying.
No, that's a fact.
He didn't say
though.
That, fam. He's saying you see a lot of sisters go, fuck with this, you fuck with this kind of girl, and you fuck with that kind of girl. That shit is exotic. That shit look a lot different than the shit you see in the neighborhood all of the time. Leave that off.
Leave that off. If I grew up in Costa Rica and then I came to Atlanta,
right?
People in Atlanta would be exotic to me. How do people not understand that?
But in the conversation, that's a good question. You're absolutely right. If they had been talking about just women in general, if they were just talking about how women look different across the world, then you're absolutely right. He's talking about the type of women that he dates and his preference. And what he's saying, if we want to give him leeway and looking deeper to what he's saying, as far as how you're shooting him all of this bail, what he's saying here is, I date this type of woman because she's exotic and I can't find this around the way. That's not true. You can find this around the way, my nigga.
No, listen.
You can. It's as simple as that, bro. Like, you can't put that blanket statement on black women and say they don't look exotic.
Listen, if I grew up in Costa Rica, you're not going to find people that look like that from Atlanta that look like they in Atlanta and Costa Rica, bro. They're not there. They're not.
That's true. That's they're the, not it's a there, whole movie. My nigga. You're right. It's a whole movie about it. It's called Coming to America.
That's exactly.
He
that's
left
what I'm
from
saying.
Africa to go to Queens to find a different type of woman. Cool. It's a whole movie's about that. But
so
you
what
can't
he's saying
find
is the reverse of that. That's all.
I don't agree.
And
I just
Coming
don't.
To America is your favorite movie. So you're just going to tell me you're going to eliminate everything Coming to America stood for right now because you want to go against the grain?
He had black Stop. Women in. He had black women in Zumunda. It was That's black women in Zumunda. He was just going to Queens to find exotic black women. So, boom. He was right there with 56.
People got to understand, man.
Nigga found Lisa right there at McDowell's. How about 50 go to McDowell's? He can find Lisa, have all type of exotic bitches.
Trust me. We've seen him out with black women and listen. He got those too. He got,
I can't believe
he has
the
pick of what
you got a black
for.
Wife.
Who?
You have a black wife. How do your wife feel about this?
She understood what I was talking about. But see, here's the thing, though, man. This
just want you to stop talking.
Listen.
You must have just been pissed off and was like, whatever.
This is
you
what
took that ass.
Listen, this is what makes some people special. All right? They can read in between the lines, and they have a sense of discernment. And they don't jump off of cliffs based on headlines, dude.
But I don't think anyone is jumping off of cliffs.
Did you read the comments?
The headlines. No, I didn't. I'm staying out of there. I know it's a shit show. But again, people hate 50 Cent, though. So when he even just teeters on the line, like, you're right. People are going to take with it what they want and go however. He's just got a history that adds to it that makes people go one way or the other with him. You don't have to jump off a cliff of their headline. It's like this, what he said is not that offensive. It's wrong. Like he, in the context of what he's saying, it's absolutely wrong, but I mean, it shouldn't be that offensive, but it's 50 Cent. So, I mean, he got a point.
Next up, dude. This nigga's is ill.
Next. All right. Your man's Lil Wayne. I don't know if it's that same interview or somewhere else, but he let everybody know that since he's no longer with Cash Money, that the music is going to flow. And what does that mean? Carter 6 is on the way. You, as the resident Lil Wayne stan, is this a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
I'm going to make this quick. It's a little deal. It's a little
deal. No deal.
Wayne's got some rapping left in him. He's got some rapping left in the tank.
What are you basing that off of?
The last album.
Oh, okay.
The last two, actually. Mm. Carter 5 and The Funeral were tough. He needs to do this Carter 6, close out the series on a high note, make it a 12 to 14 track project with some grade A features, top tier production, and he might can squeeze a classic out of this. Then you walk off into the sunset, dude, and do your Young Money radio and get controversial interviews that people talk about and share across the internet. From and then you get your little Spotify deal and you get the easiest money you've ever made, dude. That he needs to just go ahead and close out the series. There's six projects in the series. That's a nice number. You can wrap it up as the best rapper album series of all time, dude. Do that and it's a little deal. Anything but that is no deal.
Best rapper series of all time?
If he can close it out on a high note, yeah, for sure.
It's two good albums, Max. Two? Two. No. Carter 2 and Carter 3.
No. Carter 1? You skip Carter 1? The fuck? What are we talking about?
I mean, those are the best two albums, right?
Carter 2 and Carter 3 are the best.
Okay. Carter 1 is significantly behind that.
Carter 1 is amazing.
It's good.
Oh, my fucking God.
Those two are great. But anyway, with that being said, this isn't a deal at all. It's over for Lil Wayne. He's already done those things that you were talking about. He already has the show with Apple Music. Yeah, so this is no deal at all. Lil Wayne has already done those things. He's already got the interview show we just talked about with him in 50. He's already in the dad life. We see Reginae out here living life and living her best life. Like, Wayne has graduated from music. I don't think that – I think Carter 5 was a cool cap. I don't think that we have to squeeze one more out of it because – He's just not. I haven't heard anything to make me want to hear another full length album for Lil Wayne. You said Carter 5 and The Funeral.
Tough.
I don't think that he's interested in doing this. If there was someone around him maybe that was interested in doing this, and maybe that would be cool. Like if he got with Drake on, if he had a dope ass executive producer. I don't really need the features as much as I would like a dope ass executive producer or
like
him
who?
Working. Ross. Drake. Listen,
if that Lil Wayne Carter 6 got announced tomorrow, executive produced by Rick Ross.
Yeah, I'm
now
I'm
we're cooking.
That. Yeah, I'm here for that all day, twice on Sundays. Ross, that it's would really be it. Dope. But if it's just Wayne going in there and giving us 26 songs again, no. Like I'm good. The last album, you hit on something when you said it could be a classic. If we finally get from Lil Wayne what we want, a short, concise album, more in depth about him, touching on everything that he's dealt with and trying to get this music out over the last couple of years. If there was someone that could bring that stuff out of him and then just have him in the booth rapping, then let's go. Similar to like when you have everybody working with Alchemist now,
yep.
One producer. Like, I would want him to get in that bag. Have it executive produced by somebody, one producer, 9 to 12 tracks, boom.
Mm.
And I don't think he can do that, which is why I say it's a little deal. Because I don't think Wayne thinks on that conceptual level nowadays. He's just rapping, like rapping.
That's
I think
true.
Those days are over for him.
And listen, he was born to rap. We just talked about him doing 50 songs in a session not too long ago. Like, he's here. He was put on this earth
to rap.
So, yes, you're right. If you told him to bottle that up and keep it short and to the point, he might have he might have trouble doing that. That's without question. But if you think this Carter series is not the best series in rap, you are tripping with no map. Nigga, it's better than the Blueprint series.
Volume what? I wasn't even going to say the Blueprint series. I was saying volume 1, 2, 3.
It's better than that, too.
Yeah. What?
It's better than that.
It's not better than volume 1, 2, 3.
Those are some of Jay's worst.
I'm just saying it's not better than that. It's not better than.
It's better than Run the Jewels, all four of them.
Maybe.
Oh, my fucking God.
Maybe. I can't think of any series as good right now. Like, you consider mixtapes, like the soul tapes and stuff like that, too?
Yeah, but there's only three of those.
Hmm.
Kanye's College series. I mean, that's
I ain't even going to hold you. The Squad series are better than the Carter series.
Man, we can move on that note.
I ain't even going to hold you. That Squad 1, 2, 3, 4 is better than that Carter 1 through 5.
That's not true.
A fact.
That's not true.
That is a fact.
Best series, man. I need y'all to let us know what is the best hip hop series.
That might not even be Wayne best series, because you got the Squads and
Drought.
You got the Droughts and it's the Drought, the shit he did with Drama, right?
No, yeah, those are Dedications.
You got the Dedications. Come on, man.
He got some series. That's true. That's a rapping motherfucker right there.
Yeah, he a rapping motherfucker. All right, what we got last?
Yeah, man, last up.
I've been waiting on this one all day.
T.I. versus Lil Wayne. If you guys have been paying attention on social media, T.I. has been on 10. He clearly listened to the podcast last week and thought that our idea of 50 versus him on the versus battle would be good. So he has been bringing the noise, calling 50 Cent to the stage for the next versus. We know that we want to see it. Do you believe it will happen, though?
No.
Damn.
And the reason that I don't believe it will happen is because of what we said earlier about 50 Cent. 50 Cent is a very calculated person. He takes himself very seriously. And I don't think that he is, he ain't open-minded enough to sit in a room with T.I. and take this ass whooping. Because that's exactly what it will be when the king, when he pull up to the king. Like T.I. was asking and requesting. I hear a lot of people in New York talking about this and that. I like how T.I. is framing it as people have been dismissing the South and this and that for years. I think he's doing a great job to stir it up and make it to where it's going to be hard for 50 to say no. But I just don't think that 50 has he ain't got that what we were talking about as far as being, he can't sit there and take it. And I think that it would be a real shit show for him. 50 got some work, don't get me wrong, but he can't compete with Tip. Like, Tip gonna spank him.
I have several questions. Okay. First of all, I do think T.I. would ultimately win. I do.
Ultimately win.
I do.
That's disrespectful to the king.
Here's a couple of questions.
Okay.
Objectively, who would win the features battle? Because that's a battle within the battle, if we being honest. Because a lot of times people play shit that they're featured on. We're like, oh, shit, I forgot about that. Who would win the feature battle between 50 and T.I.?
I'm not sure what T.I.'s features are. So I may give this a slight edge to 50.
Absolutely.
I can't think of no big T.I. features. What you got for T.I. features? Soldier, what is it? Destiny Child song?
Well, he wouldn't play that, though.
He would?
Shout out to Destiny Child, though. But Ain't I? He would play that. Shoulder Lean.
Okay. Yeah, Shoulder Lean.
Blurred Lines and Robin Thicke. He'd play that. He'd play that for sure. He's got some features. T.I.'s got some features. That's off the dome, though. Don't nobody hold me to the rest of that shit. I can't sit here and just reel off T.I. features off the top of my head. But
you got Hate It or Love It with 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got This Is How We Do.
True.
With 50.
Magic Stick. Would he play that?
Just,
he would play that.
Magic Stick. Because T.I. got a better song with Lil' Kim, don't he?
He does.
Ain't it the song with Lil' Kim on the Urban Legend?
Oh, it might be. It might be. Yeah. Oh, and then a Swagger Like Us, too, T.I. on that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, T.I. got big. Like I said, T.I., like I was just saying about the Fab breakdown when we were talking about that. Like, why are you playing? Like, you playing with Jada Kiss. You should have just continued to just hit him over the head with undeniable hits. Because Fab got 20 of those. But when you start trying to play another game with a nigga, nah. Like, Tip gone. Beat him over the head with Big Boy Records. You can go find all that G-Unit radio shit. You can find all of that, like, DJ Scream. And go find all the freestyles you want. Like, all the features, gather all that shit up to, like, still, like, going. Because T.I. is as calculated as 50 is. I think T.I. would take this a lot more seriously. He's a lot more cunning than 50 Cent. I don't think 50 Cent putting together no track list. Unless 50 Cent hire a team of people to help him, and he might get some shit off. But other than that, man, if he just got to sit down and come up with 20 against T.I. 20, man, he can get up out of here.
Hold on.
What was your other question you had?
My other question is, will either one of them play a solo song past 2010?
Oh. Man, that's rough right there. When did T.I. gotta have a solo song on that on one of them, man?
Are we sure?
Got to. If you're a Spotify listener, man, I just put a playlist of Curtis versus Clifford, man. You guys go check that out, man.
You didn't have nothing on there past 2010.
I had to. I have to look it up now. Let me find my phone while you peel the airtime. What was your other question?
No, to answer that one, I think 50 would have one.
What's that?
The Power theme song.
Damn, are we counting that?
He has to play that. This is a big rich town. You got to play that. Fuck it.
That.
Pulling out all the stops, dude. Singles.
You don't have to.
TV show theme songs. T.I. ain't got a theme song.
I mean, yet. He working on it, man. Who did the Family Hustle song?
Family Hustle has a song? I didn't know that. Who was
I totally would binge them Family Hustles. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Who is that? Damani on the song? I don't know. What is it? I don't know.
Nah, I don't know. Let me see if he got something past 2010. Let me see what
he doesn't. Spoiler alert, my motherfucker. Hey, he got a song with Iggy Azalea past 2010.
He has a song with Izzy. It had to be someone that Trouble Man. And then No Mercy came out in 2010.
Nigga, we about to talk about that No Mercy. It ain't nothing he playing off that motherfucker.
Trap Back Jumping was banging. I'm hot at you.
That song was cool. That song was cool. I ain't
he
lie.
Playing that and it came out in 2012.
That song was cool.
Yeah. Tough. 50 might not have one after 2010.
This is a big rich town.
That ain't even his part. Like, he don't even get to sing his part. Do he even got a verse on there? It's crazy that you say feature, though, because every song on that paperwork had a feature on there. Every one of them.
Yeah.
DZ and Watch the Duck.
Young I don't know what
Thug. I don't believe it's a nigga named Watch the Duck. That's crazy.
Oh, I forgot he had a song with Young Thug.
You said All About the Money.
That's I forgot about that.
He got hits, man.
That's true. Now, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding for 50. I'm not going to lie.
When he blew out the water, then he got that paperwork. Paperwork. Come on,
he's
man.
Absolutely not just... playing whatever you just got through singing.
That's what Pharrell.
He's not playing that, bro. Stop.
Pharrell song. You play that just because Pharrell on it. 50 ain't got no Pharrell songs.
That should have played just when
I can't believe T.I. doing all these IGs with no haircut, though.
And it, really
hey, yeah, boy, that nigga got the George Jefferson like 2020 locked up.
Listen, that nigga mad as hell. His hair won't grow and dread out. Man. Like he hot about that shit. That shit like
the trying to do the Jay-Z.
He trying to do the Jay-Z Cam Newton shit, and it's not working, dude. That nigga got the little Scottie Pippen boot.
T.I. got enough money to get him some hair, though.
Who?
T.I. got enough money to get him some hair.
Yeah, he should be able to buy some hair, but it's a struggle.
He
right got
to stay out of there. See, he been getting called to all these damn political meetings and shit, having to go down there with Mel Keisha Lance Bottoms. He ain't been able to stay out of the public eye enough. So he can't grow them dreads out like he want to, but he is gunning for them for them Cam Newton Jay-Z's, though.
He trying, boy.
He need to get it together. That ain't it. He got the George Jefferson right now.
He's stuck on the Scottie Pippen Buffon when he played for the Trailblazers.
With the George Jefferson form on it. The Scottie Pippen Buffon with the George Jefferson form is so nasty. You got to wear that hat, cock it back to the side, King.
Shit.
Come on, King.
All right, man. Let's get to the topic at hand. Speaking of that No Mercy album coming out in 2010, we felt it was a good time to revisit 2010. If you have been listening to the podcast now for a couple of years, you know we like to go 10 years back in the time machine. And then for another episode, we like to go 20 years back. So earlier this year, we already revisited 2000. Today, we are revisiting 2010. We've got some notable albums, some notable mixtapes, and a couple of notable newsworthy headlines that happened in 2010. Do you recall where you were as a fan in 2010? Like, who were you leaning toward? Who were you looking forward to through this gap right here? Like, who were you into?
Well, that's a great question. And I'll first start with how we were digesting music in 2010. iPods were big, if you remember. I don't know where I got the big, I had the big boy iPod. What was it, 256?
Yeah.
Is that the 256 thing? I just bought that from somebody. I came up on it in the shuck. I can't remember how, though. But it was a good
booster,
shuck.
Tub,
something like that. And we had just moved down here. And I was working a little job with my commute. I used to bang the iPod. Yep. It was a long-ass commute. And most of my music was, you know, you would put it on shuffle and you just go. You listen to it that way. So it would be a lot of older music because there wasn't a lot of good new shit coming out. Mm-hmm. So mixtapes were big.
Yep.
I know it was, for me, it was a lot of Lil Boosie.
You weren't listening to Boosie in 2010, I promise.
These is facts. Oh, are you serious? God. His mixtape run, like, it was a lot. That's when I became, like, that's probably when he was my favorite rapper between this time.
Jesus.
2008 to 2010, before right before he got locked up.
Damn.
But a lot, it was a lot of Lil Boosie. I remember that Young Dro came out somewhere in between here. Mm. And I was listening to that a lot. That was one of my favorite albums. I don't think it was this year. Maybe the year before. Maybe a year after. But somewhere in here, I know this Young Dro came out. But I just remember a lot of Jeezy.
Yeah.
A whole lot of Jeezy.
Yeah.
And I remember that being the thing, like getting shit to find it, putting on your iPod, transferring CDs to iPod. I remember that was right in the time as to where that was the big thing, finding stuff to throw on your iPod, new mixtapes. We had just moved down here to the A. I remember using your CD book, all the No Limit CDs that you had, and trying to put those on my iPod.
Yep.
So you would have them because you couldn't get them. You couldn't buy them nowhere.
Nah.
But if you transferred it from there to iTunes, and then you dragged it to your iTunes thing, then you could have it on there. It was a whole lot of shit you kids ain't got to deal with. Streaming service, you got it easy. Please trust me and believe it. But I remember that's where I was with it. The iPod was a really big deal. And I remember just listening to a lot of shit off my iPod, downloading a lot of mixtapes, not having to haul around CDs anymore. And just that iPod was my lifeline. Like, that shit got me through, like, walking, going wherever I had to go, and just every song that I did. Like, it was like every song that you ever had was in there, or that you ever wanted, you could add it within a couple of seconds. That was before you could do it on your phone and shit, and it was just different. Like, it was I remember just how pivotal in 2010 an iPod was to my music listening. What about you?
You had to walk 10 miles in the snow with no shoes on and shit?
Thanks, man. Up the hill both ways.
God damn. Nah, it's the same here. You know, iPod. I'm the iPod GOAT. First nigga in the hood with the iPod. Shout out to me. I
don't remember that.
Fuck out of here.
I don't remember that.
iPod was a lifesaver. But I was listening to, I was mixtape heavy, obviously. This was when you can still tell the difference between an album and a mixtape. There was a clear definition between the two. Heavy on Ross around this time. He was building up his wave. I think Jeezy 2 for sure. Definitely heavy on the Jeezy. Lil Wayne had fell off at this point. This is when the Wayne we knew of like 07 was... Yeah, now he had been abducted by aliens and shit. Like, we don't know what happened to this Wayne right through this gap. But it was a new wave of young cats coming along that we'll get to in just a second, though, that kind of carried the torch to where we are right now. So just getting into some of these notable albums of 2010. Speaking of Lil Wayne and the fall off, he dropped two this year. Rebirth, which was his rock and roll experimental album, which was ass.
Bad game.
Ooh, shit was some slow. And then that I Am Not a Human Being, he dropped later in the year. 0 for 2 for awesome. Wayne in 2010.
Had a bang of that single on that I'm Single.
That I'm Single was fire.
That was bang.
And I'm almost certain Drake wrote that.
Drake wrote that. Fact.
I bet a million on it.
It's a whole story out there about, I think, how he took it from Drake because he needed it right then through that gap.
Ooh. But that song was fire, though. I'm about to take the coupe to Collins.
That was that one. I ain't listened to that in so long.
That shit banging. Speaking of Drake, Thank Me Later, his debut album came out. Underrated. Did you know that?
Underrated?
His debut album is underrated.
Talking about Drake's debut album is underrated? How is that possible?
People don't talk about it enough, man. Everybody talks about his classic, or if he has one, or if he doesn't.
But this, if he does have an album that's a classic, this is probably the closest thing to it.
People don't say that. They say Take Care is. That's why I say this is underrated.
I don't think it's underrated, though.
Thank Me Later is really good.
Thank Me Later is banging. Like, that Jay-Z verse on there is fucking superb.
Yes, a fact.
And Light It Up, oh my God, I'm listening to that as soon as we get done. But I don't think that that's underrated. I think that it's up there. I mean, that's if not his first best and his second best album, easily, right? I think that's regarded in that way. But it was also, like, as big as that mixtape was, you still expected more from that album because that mixtape was so big, if that makes sense.
That's why, like, it's underrated, bro. Because it's the album is fire if you listen to it again. You're like, damn,
that album's really good. That's really, really good. You're right.
Ross, Teflon Don came out this year.
Ross' best album is Life. Before the Teflon Don came out, though, that goddamn BMF went wildfire mayhem in the streets.
That's true.
That was probably one of the biggest singles in hip hop history.
That was a huge moment. That single had him on fire.
BMF was different. BMF was different.
You heard that a lot. Barbershops, in the streets. You heard that BMF. That shit was everywhere. Let's be
BMF
very
top 10
hip
hop singles.
What?
BMF is top 10 hip hop singles. It has to be.
Man, come on. You just had to go too
far. It has to be. You can't name 10 singles better than BMF.
What?
You can't. It's impossible.
Bruh. Listen, it's probably Ross's biggest single. Like, street-wise. Ooh. Yeah,
that was bigger than Hustlin'. Yeah. Hustlin' was big at BMF. Like, people didn't even know who Big Meech was. I would, which surprised me. I remember vividly having a conversation this year. And people... The person was like...
This year, or are you talking about 2010?
Excuse me. This year, speaking of 2010.
Okay.
In this year of 2010. And the person was like, I don't know who Big Meech is or Larry Hoover. I just like the song. And that floored me. I couldn't believe that.
They got to watch more American Gangster series on BET.
Facts.
I'm not going to lie. After those albums, this year is a wash.
I don't do your boy like that.
Who?
Their debut number one album.
Who?
My chick bad, my chick good. Your man.
I see you, Luda.
That's when Ludacris was still putting out stuff.
I see you, Luda. Battle of the Sexes.
I'm surprised this was the number one album in 2010. I thought Ludacris was done.
That's because you hated on Ludacris since 2001.
That's absolutely not true. I just didn't know he was this big. I have never hated on Ludacris. I always say he can rap. It just always surprises me. Another notable, we ain't getting into mixtapes yet, right?
Not yet.
Okay. I was about to name another notable. B.O.B., The Adventures of Bobby Ray.
That's not notable.
What? No, that Nothing not. On You was probably the biggest single of that year.
I'm not going to say the single was banging. Big. Who was that, Bruno Mars? Who was that on that song?
It's B.O.B. Oh, yeah, I think it is Bruno Mars.
That song was huge. B.O.B.'s career never quite equaled out to the level of that single, though. Even though he was talented, though.
Man, Young Dro was telling a story on No Jumper. He's on that recently. And he said that he found B.O.B. and Tip bought him from him. He purchased the...
What?
He had B.O.B. as an artist. Tip was like, I know you're not going to do nothing with that. How much you want for him? It was either from Dro or from other nigga that Dro know. But Tip was like, but Tip was like, clearly, like, y'all niggas ain't, y'all don't know what to do with this. How much you want? And the dude told him $250. Tip said, man, get the fuck out of here. But I don't know what they ended up doing. He definitely ended up taking. Another notable was that Scarface Dope Man music. He tried to do the group thing. Not his best moment in that.
Yeah.
He got some dope ass bars on there, but I ain't like them other two niggas really. Album not that bad, though.
Bun B Trilogy, Five Mics and the Source, if y'all remember.
That was the first Bun B solo album.
No, this was the right? third.
Oh, that was the third one.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, man, that one. How did they get cool. Five mics, Mr. Listen to Everything?
I don't know. The Source, first of all, people probably didn't even remember that The Source was still around in 2010. So they had to make some type of splash, some type of headline. Shout out to Bun B. He's a legend. Shout out to The Source. That's a legendary publication. They fucked up on this, though. That is not a five mic album. It's not a classic, man. It's just not.
What would you rank it? What would you put that?
It was a strong 3.5. It's banging, though.
Wow. That's a big difference from Five Mics. Big Boy dropped an album this year. Sort of Lucius Leftfoot, the man, son of Chico Dusty, which is the funniest album name in history.
Listen, man. Big Boy fucking up his status in the rap history books by dropping these subpar solo albums, and it began with that album right there.
I was going to say, that was the first one, right?
That motherfucker's some slaw.
Is it? Oh, it wasn't that bad.
He can't make solo music. Some people just can't make solo music. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people work better as a group. He's a prime example.
He needs to slow his tempo down on the slower, on his solo albums. Like, he's going too fast. Andre gave you, I think him and Andre, probably Andre was slowing him down on some of those songs on Outkast, but he's like, just the shit's just too, like, rock and roll-ish. I don't know what the fuck that is, man. But I agree with you. Fat Trash. Joe, The Dark Side, Volume 1.
Fire.
You're a big Fat Joe fan. I wouldn't go that far.
Fat Joe. Niggas got Fat Joe discography completely fucked up.
Really?
Yes.
Do people write for Fat Joe? How does that work?
Yeah, I think so.
Got you, right?
I think Remy Ma did at one point, which is nuts.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's Fat Joe.
But his ear for beats is ridiculous, though.
Would you listen to a Lil Wayne executive produced by Fat Joe album?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
That'd be banging.
Ooh.
That could work. That definitely could work. Your boy C. Murder had an album this year. Did you know that?
I did. Yeah, this is stuff that we do not speak of. I don't want to hear anything from somebody rapping on a pen in jail. I don't want to hear that shit.
A little Flip Ahead of My Time.
Now you just naming shit at this
nuts.
Point.
In 2010, that's nuts.
That's trash.
Ahead of My Time, Lil Flip.
Shout out to 8-Ball and MJG. They signed the Grand Hustle in 2010 and dropped 10 Toes Down.
You don't want no drama? That was with Puff, though.
That was with Puff when they signed with Bad Boy. I would love to get T.I.'s thoughts on signing 8-Ball and MJG and what went wrong, because this project was not it.
Not it at all. It was just one album too, wasn't it?
It was just a one album deal for no reason. I'm hoping there's more to that than we know.
I would love to hear that story. You're right.
Kid Cudi, Man on the Moon too.
Yeah, you just naming shit now.
You don't like Kid Cudi.
I don't. This is,
Kid Cudi's an important figure in hip hop.
To you, not to me. He's a great actor, though. Tell me what you think about your mans. I just seen one that I was going to. Oh, yeah. And Ron Browse. You definitely bought that Ron Browse. You were a Ron Browse fan in 2010. Say you weren't.
Man, what was his song, man?
You fucked with that Ron Browse.
What was his single, though?
I can't remember what that Ron Browse single was. Oh, but you definitely banged it in the whip, though.
Ron Browse had the song.
The name of his song was Eat You. The name of the album was Eat the Liberum.
Pop Champagne was the name of that song. Pop Champagne. Pop
Champagne. That's right there with A-Rab music.
That shit was trash.
Well, we getting A-Rab money. That's the same thing that's at Pop Champagne.
Trash. Shout out to my boy for coming through at the end of the year and saving 2010.
Ooh.
Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. He fucked around and dropped the album of the millennial at the end of one of the worst album years of all time. Because 2010 is some slog. We're naming some bullshit.
We are. He dropped a really good album.
He dropped a classic album, is what you're trying to say.
Almost classic. Yeah, that's a great album. That's a great fucking album right there. That's easily the best album of this year.
Nah, that's without question.
And that Teflon Don is banging.
Is that a is Teflon Don a classic?
Absolutely. I don't even think it's like debatable.
Nah,
it's 1 through 12.
Nah,
there's not one bad song on that album.
I'm skipping the song with Puff.
Ripping it too. You skipping that, but Ross still ripping it too though.
That's fair, but I'm skipping that.
I'm not sure.
Real quick though, Nicki Minaj debut album Pink Friday.
So that came out this year?
That came out 2010. Came out the same day as Kanye did.
Did it?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize. I don't think I've ever listened to that album in full.
It's not bad. Lloyd Banks, Hunger for More 2. Some slaw.
He was going to name. This is probably around the time that 50 stopped fucking with Lloyd Banks, because he announced on his Twitter that he was going to name this album The Hunger for More 2. And later in the day, at Twitter at that time, it's nuts. But later in that day, G-Unit's official Twitter said that is not the official name of the album, and they are still working on a concrete concept.
So I think that was. Why would they do that? And it came out under that name.
Under that name, which is weird as fuck. It goes to show, if you listen to that, like, I really recommend you listen to 50's book, but the creative differences that he started to have with Lloyd Banks and all of G-Unit, I think you can start to see him in 2010.
That's true.
Shit like that.
Last thing, T.I. No Mercy.
Dang it.
What?
Oh.
No fucking way. And
it's an above average album. Don't do that, though.
And it was supposed to be called King Unchained.
Yeah, until he got locked up that year. He had to change the name because he didn't feel like that it would be consciously correct.
No, he didn't feel like it would be good. King Unchained is terrible.
That ain't a bad name.
Nah, that name is trash.
Better than No Mercy?
No, it's trash.
I'm not sure. Big L dropped a good. Are these Big L albums that came out this year? What is that about?
Are these real
albums?
I have no fucking clue.
You not a Big L fan?
Big L was dope, but I don't know anything about his album in 2010.
All right. So, those are the releases, high-selling albums of the 2010. You want to go over the top 10 albums?
You can go over top 5, because we got the top hell of a mixtape list.
Oh, okay, yeah, I forgot about that. Starting at number 10, Teflon Don sold 176,000 first week, debuted at number 2. Lil Wayne's Rebirth sold 176,000 as well. Nicki Minaj's Pink Friday went for 375 first week.
That's
Drake Thank Me Letter, 447 first week.
Oh, yeah.
Top two albums of 2010 sales-wise. Number 2, your man's Kanye West with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, 496,000 sold first week. It's impressive. Eminem had the number one album in 2010 with Recovery. Any guess on how many he sold first week?
700?
741,000 copies to the man.
That album is terrible, too.
It is absolute garbage.
Ooh, that's a bad album. Even absolute, he'll say that.
Absolute garbage. You shitted on that Sir Lucius Left Foot. It's one of the highest critically reviewed albums metrically of that year, right behind that Kanye West and right above the Roots, How I Got Over.
Which is why we started a podcast, because motherfuckers don't know what they're talking about. That's right music.
The number 10 album on that list is John Legend and the Roots, Wake Up, by the way. Just in case you were wondering.
Nah, we weren't. Listen, the mixtapes, let's get to the real reason we're even talking about 2010 or why 2010 is not erased from the history books. Mixtapes that came out in 2010 were fucking insane.
Mm. Let me give you made the mixtape game.
It did. Kendrick Lamar, Overly Dedicated. Which is complete flames.
Underrated. You want to talk about underrated?
That's a good point. Very underrated. Then we had Jeezy Trap or Die 2.
Let's go.
Oh my God.
Let's go. Probably the best mixtape ever.
Wow.
Yes, Trap or absolutely. Die 2? Oh, I thought you talking Trap or Die. Never mind.
This thing is ill. Crit was
Trap
here.
Trap or Die 2 was all right, though.
Trap or Die 2 was nice.
Crit was here.
Classic.
Banging. I couldn't believe. I was just so refreshed listening to that. I thought I had a new favorite rapper when I listened to this from front to back. The samples, subject matter. Big Crit was like, I thought that nigga was gonna be Pimp C, 2010 and beyond.
Yeah. Now that mixtape is ridiculous. Rick Ross, Albert Anastasia. Actually, he dropped two tapes this year, Ashes to Ashes and Albert Anastasia.
Both of which were fucking banging.
That's true. Yeah.
He had to put that Albert Anastasia out because that BMF caught so much steam.
Exactly. That's what BMF was originally
so
on.
Fucking big. Yeah. Like, he had to go ahead and put that out, do that Albert Anastasia and the album. Like, you can't have a single that big and not put an album out in the same year.
Absolutely. Like, you would've been a waste. Not put an album out at least 2 months later.
Right.
J. Cole, Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights, yes, sir. That's underrated. Yeah. This is a classic.
No, it's not. No.
It's facts.
No, you had it at underrated and you took it a step too far.
Do you like this or the warm up better?
Warm up.
Get out of here, bro.
Facts.
This Barbie, he rapping his ass off on this Friday Night Lights.
I ain't gonna lie. He got a song on this Friday Night Lights, though. That Premeditated Murder.
Oh my God. On what beat is that he jacked?
Man.
What beat is that on?
Don't it's hold
on
me the jack. I can't remember.
No. People let us know in the comments what beat that was on, but he jacked a beat on that Premeditated Murder and absolutely slaughtered it.
Wiz Khalifa, Kush, and Orange Juice.
Top 10 mixtape right there. Like upper echelon.
We've named like at least three or four classic mixtapes, don't I?
Yeah.
That cushion orange juice is stupid. Today.
Facts. That is a fact. And I was sidetracked. I was trying to look and see what the Premeditated Murder beat was. But that cushion orange juice is like, people still bring that up to, like, that's Wiz Khalifa's, like, essential album. Like, you know, they have that album that puts you on and, like, puts you on another level. That Cushion Orange just did something different for him.
He's one of few rappers that have a classic mixtape but don't have a classic album.
That's one.
He's got that. Cause that mixtape.
Why do you think that is, though?
That's a spectacular question. You could argue it was the producer. Because the producer that he was with on that mixtape, it just fit his sound perfectly. But when he got into the major label shit, you know, they need you to do the big records, the big stadium joints.
The Black and Yellow.
Yeah, you need the big boy records like that. I mean, Black and Yellow was cool, though, but...
But that's the I don't think Wiz gets enough credit for doing the Black and Yellow type songs, because that really ain't his vibe. Like, his vibe is Cushion Orange Juice. If he did music like that, he probably wouldn't be as big. He wouldn't be Wiz Khalifa.
That's true.
But it would be a lot better, the quality of it. Not to say he makes bad music, anything like that, but this just was able to capture, like, Wiz Khalifa. And it's very rare that an artist does that. Like, this captured him, like, 100%.
Gangsta Grillz was heavy in 2010. Fabulous, There Is No Competition 2.
Yeah, that was cool.
Crazy. He's spitting on there. Meek Mill.
Freddie Gibbs came out. What you ain't gonna talk about your man's?
Straight Killer No Filler.
Facts.
Yep, yep. That was a little bit before my time. I didn't get on him until the next project, though.
Gotcha. Okay.
That Meek Mill Flamers 3 was a Gangsta Grillz as well. That's what put a lot of people on Meek Mill. I think he had House Party on there, if I'm not mistaken. Right around the time he was signed to Grand Hustle. But then remember, T.I. got locked up, so then he Meek Mill wanted to be released, and he granted that to him. He cut his hair, joined MMG, and the rest is history.
That's a fact.
Chris Brown, In My Zone, you let people tell it, that mixtape is fire. And I don't believe it, but a lot of people say it is.
No, I've never listened to a Chris Brown album before. Why not? Ever in my life. I just never have.
He makes pretty good music.
I don't have anything against Chris Brown. I just never took time out to listen to his one. This is the one that I should start with.
I haven't heard this one, but a lot of people say it's tough, though.
Your man's Wale, More About Nothing, started the series that he did with Seinfeld. This was a staple in his catalog.
That Wale mixtape is a nice project.
Nice project.
It made a lot of noise, too. It made a lot of noise. That's a good project, for real, for real. I'm not going to lie. That was the second one he did in the Seinfeld series.
That was mine. He got a song on there called White Shoes. And he got one called The Pessimist with J. Cole.
That's on his album. That's not the mixtape.
That ain't the same thing?
No.
He didn't have an album called this. The one with Jerry talking on there?
Yeah, album There's More About Nothing.
Yeah. Okay, I'm thinking of something different. So this was some slaw there.
That's hating.
I know. This was some slaw compared to that.
A couple of notable ones. Psy had a Prince Royal Flush. Nothing?
Yeah. No, he was rapping his ass off on here. We need this Psy back, actually. Well, he need to do these mixtapes or something. Like, this Psy right here made you think that this dude right here was coming for the crown at some point. He's let us down.
That's a fact. Mac Miller Kids. That's a fan favorite for Mac Miller fans. And that's a classic movie, by the way. T.I. Fuck a Mixtape? I don't remember what that sound like.
He had a big single. I remember that. It was when he first got out of jail. I can't remember nothing. Nothing jumps out at me from that, I don't think, though.
Yeah. Two more. Champ Is Here 3, Jada Kiss.
He got a banging song on there. Is that the one with Letta the Big on there?
Oh, if that's the one with Letta the Big.
Yeah, he got a banging, a couple banging little pocket songs on there, but the tape it whole didn't really get you what you wanted.
Cam'ron, Boss of All Bosses 2. There's some shit on there.
Is it?
Yes.
And one with him and Votto?
There's some Votto might be on this heavy, but there was some shit
I think
on
it's
here.
It's featuring Votto. They cold headliners on this.
Okay, yeah. Then this got some shit on there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cam was trying to figure himself out. I think he had just started a new group, like the UN or some shit. He was trying to figure things out. But he has
Votto,
some
your mans, too.
Votto, every Votto album, he'll have one song and it'll be a sample and it'll be fucking insane and that'll be it.
He had one song that he should have gave the beat to somebody else.
Exactly.
He should have broken that motherfucker out to a bigger artist that could have gave you way more shit on that. But Votto do be having a banger on there and then. And that nigga can rap, too.
Now he can
worst
spit.
Mistake of his life was signing with DJ Khaled.
Oh, my God.
That was the worst mistake of his life. I know he's still mad about that. And he still signed to DJ Khaled.
I don't believe that.
Tough. They live in Miami and everything.
Two more and then we out. Joe Budden, Move Music 4.
Classic.
I don't believe
you want to talk about a great series. That whole series, bang.
Now, that series is tough. I think I prefer 3 if I remember correctly.
Joe Budden has the best in this Move Music series. I'm not sure if it's 4 or 3, but he got the best story song ever called Secrets.
Yeah, that shit was crazy. It's nowhere near the best story ever, but it's fire though.
Go check out the archives when we rated the best stories ever.
That's true. We do have an episode about
that. On Deck TV podcast, we have an episode about it. And I said it then, and I'll say it now. A song by Joe, easily the best story in hip-hop history.
Last but not least, Big Sean, Finally Famous 3. This is a project that put him in the spotlight, too.
Yeah, this got Sean on there. This is, like, Detroit got him buzzing and people were talking about him, but this is what put Big Sean, this is what made Big Sean Big Sean.
Yeah.
Like, this is when the nigga took off. This is the ass Big Sean.
Yeah, he took off on that motherfucker. Now, looking back at this 2010 year, clearly this is a time when albums were one thing, mixtapes were another. And this was the transition from mixtapes basically being albums. Like, a lot of the stuff we named, there's a couple of jack beats spread out through all of these, but most of these are original music. So this was the turning point of mixtapes really having, like, blurring the lines to albums, which is why the album list is so light, but the mixtape list is so heavy. Really, if this was 2020, this would all just be under albums.
Yeah, facts.
And it would balance itself out, honestly.
Projects is what they would be.
Exactly. They'd be projects. So it all works out at the end of the day.
Yeah, this, I think this was around the time, too, when drama was really eating. And did the feds come kicking in his door around this time? Was this about the time the FBI came?
Yeah, man. They put a stop to all of that shit.
But, mixtapes had gotten to the point where, I was 2007 when it happened, but mixtapes had gotten to the point where people were starting to feel that they could make more money, get more marketability off those than their albums. And you could see from the attention that was showed from just the ones that we named and how good they were, where it was switching to and what was happening. But we definitely enjoyed it as fans. DJ Drama had a lot to do with that. I think that DJ Drama was probably him, Lil Wayne, I would give the most credit to from a Southern perspective. People on the East Coast would probably say 50 and Dipset, but I go with Lil Wayne, Drama, and Tip. And I'm not sure what they would listen to on the West Coast at this time. But
man, was West Coast niggas making mixtapes?
I'm not sure. That's a great question.
Somebody fill us in.
Yeah, our LA listeners, we love to know, like, in 2010, was Nipsey popping? I think Nipsey albums might have been out. Like, he might have been doing it. Yeah, like on a mixtape level.
I think Bullets Ain't Got No Name series was in full swing around this time.
Yep. And Game, of course, probably was doing shit as far as mixtapes. Dom, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe, you know. But yeah, like, all that to say that Drama played a big part in taking the mixtapes from 2000 and maybe 6 to 2010, where we seen the importance of it continue to increase and be the probably the most important thing in your catalog over your album. Because artists, I think that they look at it, you tell me what you think, they probably looked at it in the sense of the album is for the radio, it's for the label, but these mixtapes is what I'm going to make my money off of, because that's when you get people to come to shows, and that's what's going to get people to come out, and I'll put that money straight in my pocket. This was before 360 deals and shit like that were really in full swing. So those mixtapes were for your club performances where you're going to pick up 30 to 40,000 for a night. You do the whole mixtape and you out of there. You know, you may never touch an album cut. So I think that lot of artists looked at it like that, and that's how they were and why they were able to get another bag for those mixtapes.
Yeah, I agree, man. Y'all let us know what y'all favorite mixtape is of 2010. There's a lot of shit to choose from. You can make a playlist of fire-ass songs off mixtapes from 2010, and shit would be fucking amazing.
Yeah, they need to start dropping these on streaming sites.
That is very true.
I think Kush and OJ is on streaming sites. Big Crit Was Here was just released on streaming sites. Wayne is doing himself a disservice not to have all of his mixtapes on streaming sites. He need to figure out a way to get that done. All those G Unit series, all of those Jeezy mixtapes, Bootsy, Gucci. Mm. Like, I can't figure out why that shit ain't on streaming sites.
Man, yeah. A lot of clearance issues with a lot of that shit, though.
Probably.
That's a problem. Hey, let's get this out of here, man.
Site, I just buy that Piff. Like, if I were Apple Music, I just buy that Piff.
You can probably get it for the low, too.
Tough. I'm coming in buying that Piff or buying Spinrella or just purchasing that whole thing and figuring out how to make it coincide with my stream and shit.
That would be hard.
You're going to get more people sign up for that. Tough. To end, we handed out some wins and some losses, as we do over here at the On Deck TV podcast. Before we get out of here, the first W goes to our man's 21 Savage. What he did was launched a financial literacy course, bank account at home, teaching the kids how to manage their money. Big shout out to him for this, man.
Listen, I love what 21 Savage is doing with this. Like, financial literacy is imperative in the real world, and we are not taught that shit in high school. If you go to college, you might get some good game there. If you have a nice after-school program in your neighborhood, you might get some game there. Or if your parents are up on top of shit, you might get some good game there. Those are three mites. We need more shit like this from 21, getting that financial literacy to the kids early so they know about credit. They know about credit cards, interest rate, all of that shit that we now learn as adults, mostly $30,000 or $40,000 in debt too late. So, yep. Big shout out to 21 Savage. I'm fucking with this heavy.
Facts, man. I appreciate everything that he's doing. He's been kind of quiet since everything that happened with the
ICE.
Yeah, the ICE issue. But most definitely, I'm supporting this, and I want it to grow and be as big as it could possibly be. Learning about money is very important. I once heard someone say, the most important thing that you can learn about money is what it does. It's more important than having it. So once you start figuring out what money can do for you, you know it's a lot more important than even having money, because you got to know what to do with it when you get it.
50 Cent had a quote that said, I didn't start to be rich until my money made money for me.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is really real, but you got to learn how to make money for you though.
Yep, you got to make money work. When you learn how to make money work, that's when you become on the right track. Another W for Pop Smoke. He released a posthumous album. Mm-hmm. Him and Juice WRLD, both. Well, Juice WRLD comes out this Friday. Did you listen to that, Pop Smoke?
I did, and it was some look cool. Most posthumous albums, honestly, are just okay. They're kind of pieced together after the fact, unfortunately. It's cool. You could tell he was trying to transition into a new sound. The song 50 is cool. There's a couple joints on there. He actually redid Many Men. I thought was super tough. But I prefer the drill sound. I think he had a little bit more miles in the tank with that sound first before he started experimenting with the harmonizing and stuff, because everybody already does that. But it's still a couple of joints on that I rock with, and I'll revisit it a little bit later on just to get a full grasp of it. And Juice WRLD comes out Friday, so super shout out to him too, man. Rest in peace, Juice WRLD. He was a studio guy too, man, so he got some new music coming out. I like the single that they dropped, though. I thought that shit was actually pretty dope.
This album kind of made me understand why Pop Smoke was so popular.
Mm.
If he had been able to continue to work and play with his voice like he does with that harmonizing and how different he sounds. Like, you're right, everybody does it, but he sounds different when he does it. That raspy, like, it ain't no nothing out there like that. And I think that I understand a lot more now why people were so excited about him, because he had a lot of potential to do stuff with that voice. So it's very unfortunate what happened.
Yeah, and people talk about and that's the thing. That's why I gravitated to him on that drill sound. I thought this project, real quick, to me, took away his two best assets, which were his voice and his flow. Like, his voice is really like Lloyd Banks-ish, but he can flow with like the 2020 Migos style flow. So you really haven't heard anybody with that voice match that flow before. At least I haven't. And I thought they took that away by switching up his production and slowing down his voice and auto-tuning it. I thought they took away from his two biggest assets. That's my problem with it. But again, I'm going to revisit it though.
Yeah. Also from that, before we move on, your man's Young Thug put out a tweet today, and he was upset. He was upset that Pusha T took time out on Pop Smoke's song to address the Drake beef. And he went to his IG and he said that he would have never let him on the song had he knew that he would have took that time out to beef. And he said, these rap niggas is pussies, I think is what he said. Then Pusha T went on to respond to clarify a couple of things, to give them the tea, as the kids would say. Pusha T went on to, one, let Young Thug know that he requested him to be on the song, and it was his verse already done by the time that Young Thug was reaching out to do it. Another clarification that he wanted to make is that Aubrey, your man's Drake, has been making phone calls and putting cease and desist orders out on his verses when he's mentioning Drake, which I found very interesting. And last but not least, Pusha T does not give a fuck, and I'm quoting here, what you rap niggas think. Because he's not trying to impress y'all.
What I think, I think it's funny.
You're not a rap nigga, so I guess you can comment.
This is true. I think it's funny that the Pusha T gets the most attention when he mentions Drake now.
Oh, get the fuck out of
That's
here,
That's the
man.
Only time we talk about Pusha T, bro.
That is not true.
Let's look at the last 20 times he's been brought up on this show.
Fuck out of here.
Jay-Z this, Jay-Z that. What you niggas get front page news when you say Jay-Z name? Come on, dog.
So,
some business about yourself. Where's the King Push album, fam? Where is that? Can we get that, please? Can
and
we get no material?
Fucking idiot, and out here campaigning for the president. We probably had a King Push
nigga
album.
Drop,
that's another story.
Nigga drop an album every 3 years with 7 songs on it. Can we get a fucking project, please? Can you do that?
Pusha T is only responding to shots that were thrown by Drake, if we're being fair, right? Like, Drake has been throwing sneak disses since he got washed up in a beef. Right? So, like,
no.
For Pusha T to respond and for Drake to make a call and say, oh, I don't like how he's talking still. Can you kind of take that song off? That ain't really hip-hop to me. I may be different, may have came from a different era. And as far as the getting attention when he talks about Drake, I mean, that's fair. That's a fair assessment. But, I mean, if niggas dunk on LeBron, they gonna continue to talk about it too. Like, if I clean a nigga like LeBron up out on the floor, you the big dog out here, and I made light work of you, then I'm gonna nail this home every time that I get a chance and let niggas know that I whooped his ass until you can do something about it. If Drake wants to stop being bullied, how about you come and hit the bully in the mouth? How about that? Still crying to the fucking teacher. He's talking about me. Y'all gotta let this ride?
We will when that album come out. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah. And then he go make calls and make sure Pusha T can never respond to him.
And
so
Pusha T ain't got them kind of, he ain't got that kind of Rolodex to make plays like that.
Because we're like, Pusha T is from a different era, a different cloth per se. Like, I don't have to call my boss and say, are y'all gonna let that come out?
Oh my God.
And for those that don't know what we're talking about, Drake was making calls every time Pusha T put a verse out that was mentioning him to Pusha T's label, trying not to get the verse cleared, trying to get the verses removed, edited, whatever.
Allegedly.
No, this happened. This 100% happened. And the last L of the week before we get out of here goes to your mans. This is a wild story. 40 Glock. 40 Glock got caught trying to prostitute a woman out on Backpage in some weird state like Minnesota.
Yeah.
This is not the first time that this has happened to 40 Glock. Thoughts?
Big boy L. First of all, you in a random ass state.
This nigga was in like North Dakota.
No, he was in Minnesota. What are you doing in Minnesota? First off, you're from L.A. What are you doing in Minnesota? And what are you doing getting caught up in a sting operation on prostitute women on Backpage? Like, nigga, it's super L. He got to do time behind this and everything. Like,
yeah, he
got to
do
tripping.
A year. That's how he getting his bread.
Shit.
So this is the second time that this has happened to him. This is nearly 3 years ago that this happened the first time. So I guess, you know, he in the business, man. He pimp hoes on Backpage. That's what he do, man.
Clearly not, man. On
this is a nigga the game beat up, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Where he was holding the phone in one hand and beating him up in the other hand.
You can't do too much more rapping after the game beat you up on camera, though. So I guess
that's true.
You know, they getting this nigga for sex trafficking. Jesus Christ.
That's rough. Before we get out of here, man, on decker of the week, this one goes to Kodak Black. He took to Instagram to apologize for his comments about Lauren London in the wake of Nipsey passing. He had made some disparaging comments, trying to say he's going to shoot his shot in X, Y, and Z. And a lot of people went in on him for that, including T.I. And he apologized. He actually wrote what looked to be like some bars on IG. And that was really respectable of Kodak Black. So,
getting time to think. You growing up, man. He must be having some good counseling there with some niggas, man. Some older niggas.
Shout out. I respect that move by Kodak Black, man. He is locked up. I don't know how much time he has left. But, you know, maybe he turning a corner. Maybe he turning a corner, man, so when he get out, Kodak, he can stay out.
Kodak Black can be a problem if he gets the guidance. Like, you talking about the potential to be, like, one of the top niggas in the game if he gets the right team around him to assist him with the things that he needs assistance with, because it definitely ain't talent. He don't lack that at all.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. Put me on something for this week.
I got something for you. I found a new show. It's not in rotation as far as a binge show. It comes out weekly. It's National Geographic Gordon Ramsay's Uncharted. And it's sort of like the joint where Anthony Bourdain used to do on CNN, where he go to different places in the world and like find shit over there and be there for a week and then cook with the shit he found over there. It's cool. It ain't Anthony Bourdain. Gordon Ramsay got a different personality, and you could tell that he's like trying not to snap on people and shit like that. So that kind of makes it entertaining. But it's a good watch if you like those travel shows. Those travel cooking shows, like, some of my favorite shit. So that is 100% worth checking out, because Gordon Ramsay's a funny dude, though. At the very least, he'd be on there cussing folks out and put in very awkward positions that you wouldn't expect Gordon Ramsay to be in. So it's pretty funny.
You're the last person on earth that watches anything on National Geographic. That's first.
I'm watching it now. It's my shit. They're doing a marathon on the parks of America. Fascinating.
Snooze fest. I'm going to put you on. I saw that the Unsolved Mysteries is back on Netflix. And I know a lot of people already know that, but I'm telling you, I've been hearing mixed reviews saying that it doesn't match up to the throwback joint from the 90s.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
If you missed that, the throwback episodes are now streaming on the Peacock channel, which is NBC's streaming platform.
Which is free on Xfinity.
So if you want to get your Unsolved Mystery fix from back in the day with Robert Stack and that eerie-ass theme music, go check that shit out on the Peacock app. Watch it in the dark. Take you back to you when it's 10, 11, 12 in the house, dolo watching that shit.
He's Robert Stack scarier than Candyman. That nigga scarier than Candyman, dude.
Robert Stack was a savage.
Nigga was a goddamn beast. It was a story I'd never fucking forget on there, where his nigga was on an escalator and it was like in a mall. And he was telling the story about riding the escalator, and he and the chick were the only people in the mall. And nigga said he was talking to her like on his way up the escalator. Nigga said she disappeared by the time they got to the top.
That's cap, though. Man, he lying like a motherfucker.
Man, it was a whole story about her disappearing, man. That shit was fucking crazy. But it's one story on the new one that I can't wait till you watch, because I definitely want to know what you think and people thought. We may need to do a 15-minute pod on it, but it's the one about the black dude. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you get to it. It actually happened here in Georgia. I can't wait till you see that and see what you think happened to this dude.
I'm going to check it out. I saw the first episode. It was cool. I'm going to check it out.
What was the first episode about?
The dude who jumped, who had either been pushed off of the hotel building and went through the thing.
I didn't enjoy that one because that story is out there. It was other places. I listened to a lot of conspiracy podcasts. They had talked about this before, and it was bothering the shit out of me while I was listening. I'm like, where have I heard this? And I looked through some podcasts that I heard, and it was on there. The other interesting one is the one about the hairdresser. I found it really fascinating, too.
I'm going to check it out and have the thorough review.
You might do one of your IG lives on that. I'll hop on there with you to talk about them, because those are just two really good ones to talk about.
That's a 10-4, man, guys. We appreciate y'all hanging with the kids. Do us a favor, patreon.com/realville. We've got new reviews up right now. Good shit, too. Joe Budden debut album. We got J. Cole's Born Sinner review up there. So y'all check that out, too. Also, youtube.com/realville, man. We're looking to get some video content up really, really soon. We appreciate everybody for checking in, man, as always.
Yes, it's another week in the book. Support the real. We appreciate you. Also, go subscribe to my podcast feed featuring Spike Lou. We're doing the different political type things over there. I'm trying to grow and get going. You guys make sure you go check that out and support that. We appreciate everything you guys do with us. Support the real for sure.
Yes, sir. We out.